Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Father, I pray in this day, Lord, I know you want to come and set people free. And so I pray in this morning, Father, that across this auditorium, Father, I pray across all the locations and people watching us, Father, that this day will be a day of healing, that this day will be a day of breakthrough. This day will be a day where you come and you restore. Father, as you said to me yesterday, Father, it's a time of restoration. And I speak it out over my people, Father, in this day, that we will see a double restoration. We will see a reclaiming of that that was. And the best days is ahead of us. It's not behind us. And Father, we look back and we say, look what the Lord has done. But Father, I don't live in my history. I live in my future. And now I say, look what the Lord's going to do. Look what the Lord's going to do. He's going to do exceedingly. He's going to do abundantly, and He's going to do above. He's going to do greater and mightier things in this hour than ever before. And if you believe that, come on, learn to give Jesus a praise offering. Oh, come on. He said it. We believe it. That finishes it. Amen. 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 Look at your neighbor today and say, He said it. I believe it. That settles it. Oh, come on, say with more passion. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. Now sound like an army. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. Now you sound dangerous. Oh, come on, let's give Him just one more praise. Just one more. I want you there across all the locations and inside the building. I need the Holy Spirit to help us this morning. Won't you put one hand on your heart? And across all the locations, there we are. Just one hand on your heart, one hand to the Lord. I want you to pray a prayer with me because you need to receive this word this morning. Say with me, Heavenly Father, open my heart for your word that I may be free. Thank you that you sent Jesus, the truth, the life, the way. May my heart receive your truth in this day so that I may be free, may be whole, may be restored. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen and amen. Well, you're welcome to be seated. Good morning, Empower Church. Good morning again to everybody watching us online. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Won't you give the worship team just a God bless you? Won't you just thank them? They work hard. And our dancers as well, they work hard. And then before I start the sermon this morning, I really wanted to take some time. There's a group of people here that works extremely, extremely hard behind the scenes. And that is our media volunteers, that is our camera people, that is our sound people, that is all the designs, everything you see around us. Listen, we can't do it if they don't do it. And so the Bible says we need to just say thank you and pay honor where honor is due. So I just want to say that publicly, you know, everything you see is hard work behind the scenes. And so we honor the media team, we honor Derek, we honor Marinas, we honor Musa. We honor all these guys that work endless hours to do and to give you the best. Come on, can you bless them? Can you honor them, please? Come on, they work hard so that we can be the best. Amen? So thank you guys just for your continued excellence, your hearts, and we love you and we appreciate you. I want to speak to you this morning about how offense can kill potential. And this word this morning is a It's a word that Jesus gave me during this week, and it's something that Lord just continued spoke to me about. We're living in a season right now where more than ever before, we are seeing people falling away from Jesus. I don't know if you've noticed, but offense is abounding. Lukewarmness is becoming the standard of the day. And there is a fakeness coming into the body of Christ. And when I say fake, you have to understand, you know, you can only be offended really if or get to these places when, you know, the church is made out of people. Can I say that again? The church is made out of people. And because it's made out of people, every single one of us that sit here, we need the mercy and the grace of God. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 23. But we're almost like living in a season where Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 10, He said, right about when you will see me again, He said this, He said, lawlessness will abound. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. In other words, people will start to create a distance between themselves and God. And then He said, offense will abound. And I want you to note something here right from the start. Offense is an event. Being offended is a choice. And last week I spoke to you about paddling your tongue, and I said to you how your life is likened to a boat and how your tongue is the rudder to your life. In other words, death and life lies in the power of the tongue. What you say, you're going to eat. Are you guys with me? Come on, say with me, offense. Say with me, I'm not going to be offended. Okay. And the Bible says again, I say, the word of the Lord is very clear. In Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 21, just a little bit on the keys. Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 21, it says this, then Jesus went out from there and departed the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the women of Canaan came from there and the region and cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her, not a word. I want you to note that. Jesus ignores a flat. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then, look at her. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, if you want to talk about offense, listen to what Jesus said. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And she said, listen to what her response is. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from which moment? From that moment. I want you to know that your breakthrough is on the other side of your worship. And I'm going to say that right from the start. If you can make up your mind that you're not going to be deterred, that you're not going to be stopped, that you're not going to be pushed away, that you're not going to be silenced, that you're not going to be removed from the potential, the purpose, and the plan of God. There's not a devil and there's not a person in hell or on the earth that can stop you from living out your full potential. Are you there? And you have to understand what's busy happening here. This is a Canaanite woman. In other words, she is an outsider. She's a Gentile. She's a Gentile. She's not supposed to be there. She's not on the inside. In other words, Jesus tells her straight up, listen, I didn't come for you. I came for Israel. I came for the sheep. I did not come for you. It's not what you are, not what I'm about. In other words, listen, who of you have ever, let me say it like this. I don't know if you've ever understood it like this, but the truth will offend you. Oh, come on. Whenever Jesus calls himself the truth, right? Truth always offends. Because it always heals. Let me say that again. Truth always offends because it always heals. And the number one reason why people are falling away right now from God, and we have to understand it. Look, we sit here this morning, the auditorium is filled. But there are so many people across South Africa that are right now being disconnected. Why are they disconnected? Because lawlessness is abounding. What is lawlessness? Certain things are being accepted as normal. Listen, guys, church, listen to me this morning. There's many things that are not normal in this hour. This season is definitely not normal. And I just want to tell it because I'll say it like it is. Normal is not coming back, but Jesus is. Normal is not going to come back to us like we know it. So, but Jesus is coming. And Jesus says, the God of the universe says, it is impossible that offenses will not come. And this lady, she impresses me because the Bible says, she says, Lord, I need your help. Listen to her again. And I want you to understand this. And behold, the woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And the Bible says he answers her nothing. In other words, he says nothing. He answers her not a word. Not a word. But the lady makes up her mind. And this is how she makes up her mind. She makes up her mind that I came for my healing. I came for my breakthrough. I came for my daughter to be restored. And I don't care if they snuff at me, look at me weird, if they scrutinize me, if they push me out, if they call me a Canaanite woman, if they call me an outsider, I came to have my encounter. And I will not leave this place until I have my encounter. I don't know about you, but when I read this, the Lord asked me, are you still hungry enough that you will call out to my name and want me with everything that you have, and you will not let disappointment, nor trials, nor suffering, not what people say, not what some say. Are you still determined, Gebar, that you know that I am the way, the truth, and the life? Are you still hungry? Are you still thirsty for me? Oh, come on. There's so many people, they have given up. Why have they given up? Because of trials and because of offenses and because of what people say. Listen, we don't live by the praise of people. We live by the praise of the one. If you live by the praise of people, you will die by their rejection. And the Lord said to me, are you still hungry? Are you still thirsty? Are you still passionate like you once were? Will you still push through the crowd and say, I want Jesus. I know He's the miracle maker. I know He's the game changer. I know He can shape me, change me, transform me. I know the oil lies of Him. I know the blessing lies of Him. I know the miracle lies of Him. I know that the healing lies of Him. I know in, oh, come on. I know disappointment ends when I meet Jesus. Oh, come on. He said, are you still hungry, son? And the disciples, they have an attitude. They like, Jesus, please send her away. She's crying after us. They're lying. Nobody's crying after them. Disciples says, they're crying after us. Nonsense. She came for Jesus. She didn't come for the disciples. She came for Jesus. And Jesus says, He says nothing to her. Keeps quiet. He speaks to His disciples. He says, no, I didn't come for her. In other words, I'm ignoring her because I came for the sheep. But this lady has an attitude. She's like, I'm not leaving because this is not about me. This is about my daughter. Listen, if you're a mom or if you're a dad in this place, you know what I'm talking about. It's not about me, and I'm not gonna leave because you're the game changer. You're the one that can heal. You're the one that can restore. You're the one that can change my life. So I don't care if they snuff at me, look at me weird, if they give me squint eyes, if they push me away to the side, I'm gonna get to Jesus. And Jesus says these words to her. He says, listen, I have not come for the lost sheep for you. I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. But then He says this. Listen to His words. It's offensive, but maybe not. Listen, He says, but He answered her and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, this might sound crazy offensive because Jesus is calling her a dog. But listen to me. There were two types of dogs in the New Testament. Oh, save me, Revelation. There was a wild dog and there was a house dog. And Jesus, normally, when a Gentile or an outsider would have come in, the Jews would have called them wild dogs. In other words, they have no right to the covenant. They have no right to be insiders. They're outsiders. In other words, they've got no right to healing, no right to prosperity, no right to blessing, no right to protection. They are wild dogs. And Jesus does not call her a wild dog. He calls her a dog in the house. Still offensive, but listen to her response. Oh, come on. Are you guys with me? Listen how she says, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She's saying, the disciples, let me say it like this, the disciples are saying, "You're on the outside. You're a wild dog." Jesus says, "I call you a dog inside the house." In other words, this lady's faith is so ridiculous. She says, "Well, that's enough." And she responds, "Oh, come on, most people will be offended if the Christian church call you a dog. They will run." "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that moment. In other words, when Jesus said to this lady, "Listen, you're on the inside," she got the revelation. He didn't push me onto the outside. He called me onto the inside. In other words, what's on his table, I am a recipient of. And the only thing I need, I don't need a full a loaf of bread here. I don't need a full slice. I need a crumb. And if deliverance is on my master's table, then I'll be satisfied with a crumb of deliverance. Oh, come on. Do you understand her faith? She's saying, "Listen, he made me that I was an insider. He's making me an insider. He's still calling me a dog, but he's not keeping me on the outside. He is calling me onto the inside." And as I read that, the Lord spoke to me. He said, how many people fall away in this hour because they don't get it like Jesus, that they think Jesus must do it. And Jesus says, "Listen, great is your faith." This woman climbed over ridicule. She climbed over rebuke. She climbed over the weird eyes of the disciples because they were calling her a Canaanite woman. Listen. And Jesus says, "No, I call her an insider." And she says, "Oh, come on, you have to understand." She says, "What's on the master's table, I can eat from. And even though I am humbled still, I'm now a recipient of." And Jesus likes that. He's like, he releases the healing. He releases the miracle. Oh, come on, guys. Are you catching what I'm saying? Come on, quickly, 10 seconds of praise. Quickly, 10 seconds. Oh, this word is so much in my spirit. And her daughter was healed at what hour? Her daughter was healed from that hour. Which hour? The hour that she didn't walk away. The hour that she kept pushing through. No. You see, many of us, we give up too soon. You're on the brink of breakthrough and you give up. You're on the brink of your healing and you give up. You're on the brink of your greatest miracle and you give up. Why? Because lawlessness is abounding, and actually what's happening, our hearts are drifting. And when our hearts drift, what we believed once impassionately now becomes a second and a third and a fourth belief. And I heard the Lord say to me, "Do you love me still madly? Do you still love me passionately? Are you still adoring me as the one? Because if you do, you're going to push through." Come on, are you with me? Blind Bartimaeus, sitting next to the road, the crowd shutting him off, saying, "Keep your mouth shut." He cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I want you to see that this Canaanite woman, she calls Jesus the same. She says, "Son of David." In other words, she is calling on all of his names to get his attention. She's desperate. There's something about desperate worshipers that gets God's attention. Oh, come on, are you there? And the Lord spoke to me this. He said to me, it is impossible. The Bible says this, Luke 17:1. It is impossible that offenses should not come. Impossible. For you to not be offended, you need to go sit on an island all by yourself. Offense is the byproduct of human relationships. You will find something to be offended about. Offended is a choice. Offense is an event. Jesus offended people all the time. Yet offended means that you're going to hang yourself. Oh, come on. Is there somebody with me? Here comes a blind man. They call a blind man. Blind man comes to Jesus. Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? He says, Lord, I want to see. Jesus goes and he does exactly what Deuteronomy chapter number 28 does. Because according to Deuteronomy chapter number 28, when you were blind, you were cursed. Something is wrong. And the man that comes to Jesus to get a healing, he hears the sound that he would have heard his whole life. It's the sound of rejection. The sound that you're not good enough. And Jesus does what his whole life was about. And Jesus literally takes all of his saliva. The man is blind. You have to understand this. Man is blind. Jesus goes and Jesus spits on him too. And then Jesus says, go and wash so you might see. And you have to understand, this might seem offensive, but the breakthrough was on the other side of the obedience. Are you there? Jesus says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man has never seen the pool of Siloam, by the way, because he's blind. So Jesus is sending him, by the way, on an impossible mission. Because this guy has never even seen the pool of Siloam. So think about it just for a moment. If his friends ask him, where are you going? No, I've been spat on. By who? By Jesus. Oh, by Jesus. And Jesus spit on you. Yeah, he spit on me. Where are you going? I'm going to go and wash at the pool of Siloam. Why? Because he said, I'm going to get healed there. But he spat on you. Yeah, I know he spat on me. But he said, I must go and wash. Think about the ridiculousness of the story. And how many people today are not offended with church, with Christians, and they blame it on Jesus. Come on, do I have somebody with me here? And can I say to you what it really is? Because I hear that all the time. People often say, you know, I'm offended of this one, I'm offended of that one. I am offended of this. And I, as a leader, I get it all the time. People will be offended of me. And then they say, the church. They will use this terminology, the church. No, what you're actually saying is that you have lost the marker of controlling your own heart. And now you want to blame somebody else because you've become stagnant. Come on. Because offended is a choice. Offense is an event. When my dad died, 2 days after my dad died, my dad had many people that loved him. Many people that he poured his life into. A week before my father passed, I'll tell you honest truth. A week before he passed, there were people almost kicking my door down to want to see my dad. And I was like, no, you don't see him in the last week. That's it, sorry. Because I'm there to honor him. Not going to see dad. I'm very sorry. And the people almost broke the door down to see him. And I said, no, nobody sees him. And after my dad died, after he passed, all of those people, gone. 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 Never a phone call again. And I wondered to myself, because offense is an event. Offended is a choice. And I said to myself, real story, I will not become offended by My dad pouring his life into people's lives and they not responding correctly. Because I understand human beings. One day they call you Messiah. The next day they'll crucify you. They will praise you when it's convenient for them. They will crucify you when it's also convenient for them. Whatever fits them, they will do. And so you can never live by what people say. You live what Jesus says. Oh, come on. Do I have somebody here that is a witness here? And there's an attitude in breakthrough. Oh, come on, guys. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Because offended people are sensitive. They're touchy. And one of the things that I've learned is that offense is a lens. Say with me, offense is a lens. Offense is a lens. Because the reason why you're getting offended is because you have a lens that you use by which you are reading stuff. And here's the truth. Your lens might be wrong. Because if your filter is not the word of the Lord, the chance that you're wrong is about 100%. Yeah, come on. That's why your emotions can never ever be your leader. Your emotions are slaves to your heart that is controlled by the Spirit of the Lord. And as I said last week, I want you to understand just something here, because I want to show you just of the battle. You have to understand, and I'll climb in to show you this. Just give me the paddle. If my life is a boat, guys, stay with me. If my life is a boat, what offended people do, they climb into their own lives. And now they let their lives be rowed by offense. And here's the thing about what I've learned about offense. Is the Greek word scandalizo means that when you are offended, the word scandalizo means a trapped, a bait, a hook. In other words, you're going nowhere. Offended people are actually just turning their boat all the way in a circle the whole time. They're busy, but they're not productive. Let me say that again. They're busy, but they're not productive. And one of the greatest ills of the tongue is a tongue that is connected to a heart that is offended always wants somebody to row with them. Have you noticed that offended hearts will find another offended heart? Have you noticed that spirit draws spirit? And very quickly what will happen is you will start rowing with them. Now you're in the same boat with them. And you're an outsider. But they've pulled you in by their tongue. Come on. Do you know what I'm talking about? They pull you in by their tongue. So now what happens is this, very, very simply. You and them are literally rowing together. But you are going absolutely nowhere. Offense is an event. Offended is a choice. Now are you guys with me? And it's as easy as this. People do it like this. They say, hey, come here. Have you heard? And you must say, I have heard nothing. And I don't want to hear anything. Because here's what people do. Come on, life and death lies in the power of the tongue. And the problem is this. You might get away with speaking about something, and the person that you're talking about, they might not know, but you're not getting away from God. And the way we know that offense has taken place, people get stuck. They're stuck. They're stuck. They're going nowhere. They're stuck. And if you leave bitterness long enough, if you leave it enough, if you leave offense, a better word for the word offense is the word deception. And what happens is, Now we're in the boat of offense, but because we deceived, we have used our lens to get offense. We add to our boat deception. What is happening? Your boat is getting heavier. Your life, the success and the potential of your life is getting slower. You are going slower in the direction that God wants you. Now, if you leave deception long enough, the Bible says that you are going to grow into a place called bitterness. Bitterness is a tree. Bitterness has got a root. The Bible says, let not this root of bitterness spring up inside of your heart, defiling everything. If you leave offense, offense will become deception. Deception will become bitterness. And your boat is getting heavy. You are at the place of destruction. Now you leave bitterness, because bitterness is the equality of a heart that believes it's self-righteous and it believes it has a right to feel what it feels. The reason why people get offended is because they believe they have a right to feel the way they feel. Come on. Then bitterness. If you leave bitterness long enough, you're going to fall into discord. In other words, you don't worship with no one. And guys, think about it for just a moment this morning. This is the easiest season in the world to fall into discord. Why? Very simply, because you can sit on your couch and watch church. But church has never been meant. I love virtual. We're on Faith TV, Facebook, YouTube, church online. I'm everywhere. And we'll use technology. The point is that it's easy to be in discord if you don't have the responsibility of relationships. Because you judge the outside. And I want you to see, you're taking on weight. Now, if you're on a river system and you have so much weight in the inside of your boat, you're sinking. You just don't know it yet. And then if we leave it long enough, I didn't even bring the others. If you leave it long enough, you're going to get angry. Anger is going to grow. The next step for you is very simple. The next step after this is hatred. After hatred is murder. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, when my people get offended, they drift spiritually. And this is what He wants me to say to you. I want to encourage you today. This is a word of encouragement. Is that offended people are stuck. They live with a wooden beam in their own life. Yet they judge other people by what they see. How many of us are guilty of this? We judge a mom when we say, listen, if I were that mom, I would have done it this way. But you're not the mom, so shh. Now, if that was, how easy is it not to say, if that was my marriage, I would have done it that way. But it's not your marriage, so keep quiet. Now, if I was in that position, I would have done it this way. But you're not in that position. So please, shh. See, the disciples had the problem, and we have this problem. The disciples says, she's a Canaanite woman. She's on the outside. But the reason why they said that, they forgot. That they were nobodies also. The disciples, listen to me guys, the disciples were nobodies. The disciples were losers. The disciples had nothing going for them. Absolutely nothing. In New Testament times, if you passed a Jewish school, what would have happened to you is you would have been selected by a rabbi. And a rabbi would have started to train you. If you were not clever enough or not good enough and you couldn't memorize the psalm or the prophets, what would have happened to you is you needed to go into your father's trade and you needed to go and do what your father did. So where did Jesus find all the disciples? All of them were in their father's trade. In other words, none of them made the cut. None of them were good enough. Oh, come on, are you with me? None of them were good enough. What made them good enough was Jesus. Oh, come on, do I have some witnesses here? And often, we are just like the disciples. We stop applying the grace that we were recipients of. Because the truth is, all of us is nobodies unless He makes us somebody. Oh, come on, that's very true. The disciples forgot. They forgot they were saved by grace. They forgot they had nothing going for them. They forgot. And just because they were hanging out with Jesus, and how do I know that the disciples thought like this? Because the disciples said, they said, she's calling after us. No. She's not calling after you. She's calling after Jesus. Oh, come on, are you there? And so the worst thing that we can do is to let offense kill our potential. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, I will not be offended. John chapter number 12, verse number 5. I want to show you the wickedness of this thing. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him, asked, why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and money given to the poor? Sounds religious, sounds right. He's off. He says, Jesus did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and a keeper of the money bag. And he used to take what was put into the bag. In other words, Mary comes in. Are you guys with me? Mary comes in. She's broke. She takes the alabaster jar. She breaks it on Jesus. Judas has the audacity to say, we should have taken that oil. We should have sold it and we should have given it to the poor. And by the way, what he's saying sounds religiously right, because to give money to the poor is awesome. But that moment, that was not what Jesus was busy doing. Jesus was busy healing a lost daughter. Oh, come on. And the Bible says Jesus rebukes him. And he says, listen, the poor will always be amongst you. But this woman, what she's doing to my feet and what she's doing to my body is to anoint me for that what is to come. But Judas allowed that rebuke to turn into offense in his own heart. And the Bible makes it very clear that the end of Judas was he hanged himself. He hanged his potential. Oh, come on. Are you guys there? Are you with me? He hanged his potential. So Father, I pray for faith to pray for Africa. I bless Africa. Father, I pray that this word will not go onto dry ground, but that people will change. We need it in our country. In Jesus' name. Amen. We bless Africa as you go. May the Lord bless you. Are you there still, church? Are you with me? Listen, Judas, he judges Mary based on how Mary comes to Jesus. When I read that, the Lord spoke to me. And I found it, and He said this, how often don't we look at other people and we judge other people based on what we see on the outside, based on the responses we see, based on what we think we know about them, and we judge them based on what we see on the outside. But we're not God, and we don't know what's going on the inside, and we don't know what they've been through, and we don't know the pain nor the shame. We don't know anything, yet we so frequently take up this position of judging. And the Lord says, leave it to me. Come on, are you there with me, church? And I'll preach it tonight again. And tonight I'm going to do deliverance on this church, because God wants your boat free from the stuff of the world. He wants you successful. He wants you prosperous. He wants you blessed. He wants you advancing. He wants your whole, but you need to become serious with the Lord. And you need to say no to offense. No, no, no. Oh, come on. You know, as I say, offended people are stuck. They're stuck. Proverbs 4:17-9 says this, whoever covers offense seeks love. Listen to this, Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Love. I'll never forget as a young man, I'm young still, but younger. I was 23. I was younger than that, 21. I got a car. He bought me my first vehicle when I was 18. And he made the mistake of buying me a fast car. And, you know, young boys, you know, young men, they in those days, you know, the louder the thing sounded, I don't know. Well, it's still like that, I guess, today. The louder it sounded, the louder the exhaust was, you know, that was cool. Who of you know what I'm talking about? Are you with me? These days, you know, I guess that's still a thing. But anyway, so one night I was out of my friends, and as I was out of my friends, I came from Johannesburg, and we were out way too late. And I'll make a long story short, I messed up the car, like bad. Like really messed it up. And so I came home that evening, and you know, as I came home, long story short, you know, it was 4 o'clock the morning that I needed to phone my brother-in-law. I said, listen, there's something wrong with the car. Mom and dad are sleeping. You know, I don't know what we're gonna do, but you need to come and help. And he came out to come and help me. I'm fast forwarding the story. And so I came home, and then when the lights are on, you know you're in trouble. So all of the house lights are on. My dad comes out, and I know I'm in trouble. My mom is awake. I know, okay, you know, the wrath of God is about to hit this thing. And, you know, and long story short, come into the house, do everything on the inside. I don't want to give you that detail, but what I want to say to you is this. So the next morning I wake up. My dad says, go to bed. We'll deal with this tomorrow. We dealt with it the next day. He said, well, and the next morning I wake up, and as I wake up the next morning, you know, nobody is talking to me because I messed up big time. I'm leaving out a lot of detail here because, you know, I'm a pastor and there's certain stuff I can't say. So I messed up big time. And so in the house where nobody talks to you, you know, something is coming. And so day one, nobody talks to me. Mom is silent. She says, this is not how we taught you to do stuff. She says nothing. I even needed to make my own food. No, but she didn't even make food for me. She was like, mark your ear course. And so day two comes, and my dad had, we had a room in the front of the house. And in the front of the house, my dad, the evening, day two, day one was complete silence. There's nothing worse than being silent. You know what I'm talking about. Do you know that you can preach a whole sermon on silence? How do I know? Who of you grew up with your parents just giving you a stare? They don't need to say anything. They just like, look at you. And that look said, if you do this again, I'll smack you so hard. You know what I'm talking about? Silent sermons, silent messages in the stare. And so the next day my dad came and he like called me into this room and he said, come and sit. And so I sat and I was afraid because one, I don't have a car. Two, I don't know what's going to come. And my dad had a way, if he's angry, his eyes will go gray. He had blue eyes, but if he's mad, his eyes will go gray. And he will bite on his top lip. And I knew if he had those signs, you know, it's safer outside than inside. Who of you know what I'm talking about? Can you read your parents? Yeah. So anyway, so he sat and he crossed his arms like this. He looked at me. And I repented. I was like the prodigal son. I started to repent long before he said anything. Because I knew if I don't repent right here, I'm going to walk. And so he said this. And that was the day that I stopped parting with friends. He said these words. He says, have this mistake on me. I'll pay for everything, but have this mistake on me. And I sat there as a young man. Why? Why will you be gracious? I messed up big time. And again, I'm leaving out a lot of stories. And then he said this. He said, because what you've done is what I've done. So the grace that I needed from my dad, he never gave it to me. So now I'll give it to you. It's okay. We'll fix it. We'll go on. And what made me stop living a life of sin back then was the grace of a dad that didn't want to repay me according to my sins, but according to a standard of love. Listen, we should stop keeping people at a level that they can't live, that you yourself have not even attained. We should give grace and grace abundantly and love people extravagantly, because most people are just trying their best and they're trying to make their way forward and they're just trying to live their lives. And the best thing we can do is say, let me give you some grace. Let me help you. Let me help you, and not be the people that makes it more difficult for people to get to Jesus. Because I've noticed something in the story. The disciples made it difficult for the lady to get to Jesus. Yeah, the Bible says make it easy for people to get to Jesus. How do we make it easy? Grace, grace, grace. Grace does not say I permit it. Grace says I love you enough to say you're better than that. That's grace. Grace does not say I allow sin. Grace does not say sin is okay. Grace says I love you because you're better than your sin. You're better than your failure. You're better than your disappointment. You're better than what happened to you. Grace. Grace has got the power to hang and to bring grace. Grace has got the power to redeem. Grace has got the power to save. Grace has got the power to heal. Grace has got the power to hang with the ability to bring all of the heavens and the earth to a standstill. And yet he doesn't, because he wants to save a group of people, you and I, to worship him. He stays on the tree so that you and I will not be offended. Do you not think that Jesus had all the reason to be offended? He was the Son of God. They pluck out his beard. He says nothing. They spit in his face. He says nothing. They beat him. He says nothing. They scourge him. He says nothing. He says nothing. He hangs on the cross naked, ashamed. Naked. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus. Creator Jesus. Come on, are you guys there? Jesus. Jesus. He says, Father, forgive them. They have no clue what they're doing. Where's the grace? Where is the grace? Where is the love? Come on. Come on, church. Where is the love? Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples because you're spiritual. No. They will know that you are my disciples because you're all powerful. No. They will know that you are my disciples because you're all blessed. No. They will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. And so, will there be reasons for offense? Absolutely. Because everybody is not you. And they don't need to be. And by the way, what you see in others, others see in you. Yeah. Can I say something, and I don't mean to offend? But everybody has got a butt crack. Everybody has got a human side to you that you don't want to show nobody. Because you know you can't put that up into Instagram. You know you can't flash that. Oh, come on. And so what we often highlight in others is wrong of us. And this is what the Lord said to me in prayer. He said, an army that needs to take on a battle can only do it unitedly. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but that's the word that He gave me. He said, don't be hanged by your potential. This lady, and this is where I want to end off this morning. This lady, she's made up her mind. She's like, I am not going to let these disciples look at me in some weird way. They call me a Canaanite, that's fine. They called him blind Bartimaeus. They called him Matthew the tax collector. They called him Thomas the doubter. People are very good in throwing out labels. But Mary became the lady that had the breakthrough. And she's like, that's fine. You can call me whatever you want. You can call me a Canaanite. You can call me an outsider. But I came for my healing. I came for my breakthrough. I came because He's got oil. I came because He's got my miracle. I came because He can change me. I know He can heal my daughter. And I am not going to quit. And I am not going to give up. And I am not going to walk away without that miracle. They can look however they want. They can say whatever they want to say. I will not leave this place until I'm touched. And Jesus says, listen, you are not part of this. I didn't come for you. She says, that's fine. He says, you are a dog. She says, that's also fine. But then her faith says, but the Master is eating deliverance. And if the Master's table has got deliverance on, then I'm a dog and I'm on the inside. I can eat deliverance too. My question to you is this. Will you step over your past? Will you step over your lenses? Will you step over what you think you know about God? And give Jesus your everything. The one thing about God that we cannot change is God does not look at you with lenses that changes all the time. Because He's consistent. Come on. Are you there? Lastly, I'll say this. You have to know the Father loves His kids. God is in love with people. Oh, come on. Are you there? God loves people. I'll tell you one more story. My smallest daughter, she went to play at a place one day at somebody's house. And I was away, I was busy and busy with work or busy with church. Make a long story short, she fell. And no, I was busy exercising, that's it. I was out on my bike, I was busy riding. And I got a call, listen, I think, you know, we think her head got a little bit injured. I said, please send me photos. So I was riding on the bike and my phone was on and I got a photo. And as I opened up the photo, you know when your heart almost goes standstill? I said, that's not a gash. That's a serious wound. So I got as quickly back to my house as what I could. And while I think I jumped into my car. Thank you, Jesus, for fast cars. And I drove as quickly as what I can. And I got to the hospital in minutes. And they started and they looked at her and, you know, doctors and they, you know, they always throw out the worst case scenarios. And we were freaking out because this is our joy. This is our baby. And I said, whatever it takes, I don't care. I don't care what you need to do. I don't care what you need, I don't care. You can do whatever you need to. You can scan whatever you need to scan. You can, I do not care. I'll pay whatever I need to. I said, I don't care. Don't even ask. Just do. Because it's about my daughter. Are you with me? God the Father feels exactly the same about you times 1 million. He says, I'll pay anything. It's my kid. It's my child. It's mine. And all you and I need to do, this is what the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me this day, I must say this to you. The Lord said to me, make a decision today. Make a decision today to take out the things that you've placed in your own boat. Take it out because you're better than that. Remove it because I died for you that you might be free. You don't need this stuff. Let it go. Take it out. Take it out. Just remove it one by one and I'll heal you again. And then the Lord said to me yesterday, he said, and tell my people to take back their tongues and to call themselves the head and not the tail. To call themselves above and not beneath. To call themselves more than conqueror. To call themselves healed. To call themselves redeemed. To call themselves prosperous. To call themselves loved. Let them say that over themselves. Let the redeemed say, I am strong. Let the weak say, let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. The Lord said, tell my people they need to get their songs back and they need to say again who they are. They are anointed. They are blessed. They are protected. They are mine. Their names are written in my book of life. Never will I leave them. Never will I forsake them. Not in COVID. Not in any situation. There will never come a day. There will never come a moment. There will never come trouble that I will walk away. No, I am not that type of God. I am their God. I am your God. And as I was with you when you were younger, I'm with you still. And if we will just, oh, come on. You see, so much of the gospel is we preach about what we do for God. No, it's what God does for us. And I tell you the truth, he's the God that loves you ridiculously, scandalously. And you know what we need to do? We need to become serious of people again. We need to say, are you offended? Come. Come. Come, sit the biki. Come and sit here at my table. Come and look me in the eye. And come and tell me why. Why are you stopping your spiritual growth based on a man or a woman that I've got feet of clay? No, but it's easy. Facebook, Instagram. No, come and talk. I don't like that dress. Hey, come and talk. Come on. You were born for relationships. What has COVID done? COVID has taught you to fear other people. It's absolutely demonic. It's absolutely demonic. I'll say it 20 times. It's demonic. Because this Bible says, by his stripes, this Bible says, Mark 16:15, I have authority over bacteria, demons, principalities, powers, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. And that includes any form of COVID-19. Any form. It's true. It's true. I want to encourage you this morning. Get your boat empty. Can I demonstrate one more thing? What we often do is we allow people to live rent-free in our heads. Rent-free. They stay there. And you're living your life, but you've got 10 people that's with you in your boat because you can't let go. No, be better than the not letting go people. Let it go. Yeah, but they hurt me. Sorry, let it go. They looked at me weird. I know, let it go. They offended me. It's okay. Let it go. They were not there for me. It's okay. Let it go. Yeah, but they preached weird. It's okay. Let it go. But they didn't love me like the way I wanted to be loved. It's okay. Let it go. Yeah, but they judged me. It's okay. Let it go. Yeah, but they promised stuff to me. I know, but let it go. Because man is imperfect. Only one is perfect. His name is God. I'm sorry, but the person sitting next to you will fail you. It's the truth. That same person that smiles and sings hallelujah with you will fail you. Do not, the Bible says, and I'll close with that, Jeremiah 37:15, do not trust in the arm of man, trust in the arm of the Lord. The maker of heaven and earth, the one that never changes, the one that doesn't sleep nor slumber, the one that's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David says, there will be time that you will not have people that around you that claps hand for you. That's why you need to say, never will I leave the Lord. I will always put my heart in the Lord. I will not forsake the assembly of believers. I will worship the Lord with all of my heart. It's a choice. Come on, empower. It's a choice. And so this morning, I'm very passionate about this stuff because I am sick and tired of people not being connected. Be connected. The King is coming. Be connected. Oh, guys, online, share this gospel. I want to call you out this morning before I've preached long. It's fine. We're Africans. We can preach all day. You mustn't miss tonight. Tonight I'm going to do deliverance. I'm going to get you free. Tonight I'm going to speak about breaking free. I want to get people free. We need freedom. People are stuck. Amen. I want to call you out this morning. This will be my call, that you will say today, I'm going to empty my boat. I'm going to empty my boat. I want to go as fast as what Jesus can take me. But I want to give Jesus my everything. I don't know if this speaks to you. It should. You must make up your mind today to say, I'll give Jesus everything. Live out your life because time is short. So if that's you this morning, you say, Pastor Gebhard, that's me. Prophet, that's me. I want to empty my boat. I took on some stuff. But I need to be free of it. And I'll encourage you to stand. So I took some stuff on. I need to empty my boat. Come on. I'm beautiful in power. Look how you stand. Everybody that's online. Come on. Show me that you're standing. Throw me emoji. So I'm standing. I'm standing. All of you, look how many people are standing in this building. Let the work do its work. Lift your hands to the Lord. Everybody that's online, I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Bring that camera close. Father, I want to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to pray for every single person right now in the name of Jesus. Father, as boats get emptied, Lord, we throw over the tackles and the weights and the anchors and the things that have kept us back. And we say, no more. Father, right now in this moment, in the name of Jesus, we throw off all illegal passengers off our boats in Jesus' name. Every offense, every word, every distraction, every little thing, we throw it off. And say with me, pray this prayer with me, say, Heavenly Father, I choose today to throw off the weight of sin that have kept me back. I loosen a new day in the name of Jesus Christ. I loosen the weight of people over my heart in this day, in Jesus' name. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind, I rebuke all of your influences over my life, and by the authority of Jesus Christ, I declare that the Son has set me free. I will not tolerate any suggestion any longer. I am whole. I am free. I am redeemed. And I will fulfill the call, the purpose, and the assignment of God over my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. Let's give Jesus just... Yes, Lord. And I want to call out this morning again. There's people here. This pastor here comes. There's people here. You need to be saved. You're not where you're supposed to be of God. You have backslidden. Come right of Jesus. Come right of Jesus. You don't have tomorrow. You have today. Know Jesus today. So if that's you online right now, I want you to comment your name. You say to me, Pastor Gebba, that's me. I need to come back to Jesus. I want to say to all the locations, minister to the people. Get the people saved in Durban, in Cape Town. Get the people saved. Ask them, lay hands, minister. Here's inside of Pretoria. If you are not where you're supposed to be of Jesus, I want to have 20 seconds of bravery where you jump to your feet and you come out to me. You say, Pastor Gebba, I want to be close to Jesus again. I slipped somewhere along the line. I want to come back. And if that's you, I want you 20 seconds of bravery to come out of your seat and just to come and join me quickly. Come on, Empower. Let's give people some courage. Let's give people some courage. Come. Come, guys. Get where you need to be of Jesus. Get to where you need to be of Jesus. Come on. There's many people that need to be saved this morning. They need to come back home. Yeah, come on. Come on, ask your neighbor, are you saved? Are you where you're supposed to be? Come, guys, come this morning. Quickly, ask your neighbor, are you saved? There's more people, I'm waiting. There's more people that need to come. Today we're going to get the people with Jesus as close as what they need to be. Amen. Yes, Lord. I'll wait. Ask your neighbor, are you saved? Ask your neighbor, are you where you're supposed to be of Jesus? If you're not, come, honey, come. Listen, if you need people to walk with your neighbor today. Walk with your neighbor today. Oh, come on. See. Come on. We celebrate salvations. Heaven is rejoicing. We're rejoicing. Oh, come on. Come on. Welcome back home. Welcome back home. I want to say to every single one of you that are here in front this morning that God's grace is sufficient. Amen. His grace is sufficient. Can you stretch out your hands, church? People have just rededicated. There's many rededications here. Father, we pray grace. And I just hear the Lord say over you, I hear the Lord say, there's a new day, it's a new chapter, it's a new moment, it's a new season. The old is gone, the new has come. And Father, I bless every single person in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray right now. I pray, Jesus, welcome back home. Welcome back home. Welcome back home. Welcome. Father, I thank you just for healing people and bringing them back. Lord, as I just touch their heads, I just do it as a sign, as you told me now, that you're affirming them. You're affirming them. You are saying, they are yours. They are yours. Lord, I affirm their decision this day. Whatever is sealed on earth is sealed in heaven. Whatever is sealed in heaven is sealed on the earth. The loneliness will go. The isolation will go. The depression will flee you. The friends that left will send you new ones, better ones, whole ones. And I will heal your heart and you will be free. And you will be well. And there's a future ahead of you that is brighter. And that's what the enemy says. He's lying. It's not like this. It's not like this. It's not like this. I hear the Lord say, he's going to give you a song again. Gaan jy laat sing weer. Jou hart gaan weer gesond wees. En genees wees. Sometimes you look at yourself. Kali, you feel your life is insignificant. It's not. He loves you very, very much. And I tell you, watch. Kyk die volgende 3 maanden. God's going to give you godly friends. True friends. Friends that loves you. You always go the extra mile. God's going to go the extra mile for you. He has seen you. He wants me to tell you that. He's bewust van you. Very, very much. He loves you. So be whole and be free in Jesus' name. Father, I affirm these precious people, precious sons and daughters of God. What an honor to see sons and daughters coming back into the house of the Lord. Church, can you stand? This is like a holy moment for God. Would you lift your hands, all of you? I want us to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Can we do that? Lift your hands to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is here because people are getting saved. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Lord, we as a church, we humble ourselves before you, Lord. And we want to say we love you, Jesus. We love you like crazy. Lord Jesus, I rededicate, we rededicate ourselves to you. We say, we look to you, the beginner and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We love you passionately, Jesus. We love you with all of our hearts. We love you with all that is within us. You are our God. You are our healer. You are our Jesus. Lord, we look to you as our Savior. And we rededicate all our lives to you. Use this church. Use us as a vessel to empower this nation to bring your kids back home. And Father, we just say it this morning. We love you, Jesus. Say that with me. Say, I love you, Jesus. Come on, let's say that one more time. I love you. You, Jesus. Last time, I love you, Jesus. Spirit of the Lord is here because He's seeing you. Take 10 seconds quickly. Just 10 seconds. 10 seconds with the Lord. Just there we are. 10 seconds privately. 10 seconds privately. Just take 10 seconds with the Lord. Just fix your eyes on Jesus. Seconds. Just fix your heart on Him. Just waiting because He's healing. Thank you, Jesus. Can you sense the Spirit of God? I want you to listen to me in power. Hear the word of the Lord now. 2022. The Lord will restore what the enemy has taken in the last 21 years. You will go into an hour of restoration. You will go into a season of restructuring, rebuilding, and your lives will be filled with the favor of the Lord. What was lost shall be found again. What was broken shall be healed again. And you will say, surely this must be the Lord. You will see healing in your families. You will see salvations in your homes. Your children will serve the Lord. And I will heal you. For I have found you pleasing in my sight, says the Lord. I have found you according to the house of David, according to the house of Jesse, according to the house of Jesus, according to my Son. As you worship me and you praise me, says the Lord, I will exalt you. Yes, I will. And I will use you and I will make my name great. And that, what you've heard, they call winter, I will call summer. And you will hear the sound of peace back onto your lives once again. Be ready for the suddenly. Be ready for the now. Be ready for the moments where I surprise you, heal you, promote you, bless you, secure you. And wherever your feet go, says the Lord, I give you this land. For I am not just a God. I am the only living one. And I tell you the truth, wherever you go, I go. Do not be afraid of the enemy. Do not be afraid of the giants. For I am that I am. I am the God that heals. I am the God that restores. I am the God that's the same, and I lie not, for I am not a man. I am God, and I tell you the truth. Never, no, never, never, ever, 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 ever will I walk away. I am your God, and I'll heal you. I'll heal you through my Son, as He said, it is time, it is now. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you receive that word, say, yes, 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 yes.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.